Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 116th day of the new year. We have almost made it to Tax Freedom Day.
When is Tax Freedom Day?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is, wow. So 118 days of
work. Yeah, you're only giving up a 30-year year for taxes.
And then you just paid them on the 15th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Or earlier. Well, including property tax.
I mean, for 118 days last year, you paid him, right?
Yeah. Joyce, this afternoon, Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor, Mr. Sundberg. This afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the condition of roads. I think that's probably one area that most of us can agree on that taxes should go towards, mm-hmm. the maintenance of roadways. And we'll also get an update about community interaction, some of the opportunities that are there, and some of the opportunities that might be there but aren't being taken advantage of, or we're just not interested, one or the other. We'll find out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see.
You're not doing a golf quote? There was a Masters last weekend.
Yeah. Did you see the last couple of holes?
Yeah.
That was so crazy. Cool, wasn't it?
Adam Scott, first Australian ever to win the
Masters. Yeah, I liked the fact that they just went parallel on each other.
It was great.
And the rain, that they actually let the guys play in the rain just like
was quite the finish.
All right. You want a golf quote in honor of that? We can do a golf quote in honor.
You're so
Tom Watson. See?
Tom Watson.
Even somebody we both recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence in golf means being able to concentrate on the problem at hand with no outside interference.
Hmm. That could tie into a lot of things.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah. Well, how do you guys cope with the outside? Whether the outside is a room full of people supporting one perspective as you're getting ready to discuss something and it's, I guess intimidation would be the attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may not be phrased in quite that way, but that's obviously why people are there, is to represent one perspective and try to persuade coming across with numbers. I mean, it's what a protest is, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say you and I are in the back, we go at it, okay, now we go out in front, we're still kind of a little grumpy about it. You make a suggestion, or I make a suggestion. How do you departmentalize so that you're not going, you know, you could say it's time for lunch and I'm going to vote against it because it's you.
Yeah, it's interesting because just the other day I had someone talk to me about the new way we're gathering input, Open Humboldt, that's on the county website. You can go in and vote. And I was emailed some information that said how these forums aren't accurate and they can be manipulated fairly easy. And I tried to explain to the person, it's, you know, this is one of many ways that we get feedback. You know, you have your, well, first of all, you have your personal opinion to start out with, you know, and so I might have, you know, a preconceived idea of where I'm going with it. And then you get the Open Humboldt, you get emails, you get phone calls, you get stopped in a grocery store. Yeah, you know, there's just so many ways to gather input. Oh, then there's a public comment, and then letters that come to us at the last minute. And So what I try and do is take the overall, all the information, and that's what I try to explain to the person is, you know, this, you have to take it all. And then sometimes you can, you have to try and weed out the fringes, you know, and that's one of the things that are hard. And I remember talking to Supervisor Smith about that when I first got in, and, you know, he said that was one of the challenges, is trying to find that middle ground or find the normal people, if you will. And, you know, what is the heart of the community think? Because most of the time, the most people don't say anything.
You know, yeah, the motivateds are going to be the ones that you hear from.
Yeah, and those, you know, trying to sort through that and find out what does the community really want? You know, is this just fringe on each side making noise, or is this really what the community thinks? And so it's a challenge to wade through that and make sure that you are doing what the community as a whole wants and what's the best thing for the community and, you know, what's the right thing to do at the end of the day.
With the major stuff that you do, major votes, major actions, I would like to think that each of the five, you're doing your own outreach. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it's to a small group of folks that you feel comfortable with, cross-section, not necessarily supporters, but maybe the supporters, spouses, people that kind of keep things on the low. Here's how I read it. What are you sensing? What is this something of concern? Is it not of concern? Is this something that's government stuff? Or is this something that really there's some traction in the community? And you get your five or six people that you...
Yeah, and then I've got a...
We'll tell you that, you know, if your hair's combed funny, they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, just the regular folks.
Yeah, and I try and go and talk to people who just are not politically plugged in at all, and, you know, try and find people who have no motivation either way. You know, and you run something by them and see what their reaction is, and, you know, that's one way to gauge it. And there's lots of different ways you can do it. But yeah. I agree with you. I think we all do it. We all get our input a little bit differently, and, you know, there's probably, you know, we probably talk to some of the same people, but we all talk to different people as well.
Well, if you ask a different question or a different perspective, it's, mm-hmm. Yeah, because I would think you need to have some sounding boards, otherwise.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, pillar to post and just get bloody on both of them.
Yeah. One of the, you know, like the campaign finance reform that we just brought up the other week, I was assuming that from everything that I had heard, you know, on the campaign trail to afterwards, is there was too much money in elections, and I thought it was a big issue, you know, and so I probably didn't talk to the right people, or, you know, because it ended up being something that people just weren't interested in.
Much ado about nothing, huh?
Yeah, and at the end of it, it got kind of turned around that Virginia and I were trying to, you know, pull some maneuver for our election, and
for bringing the topic up,
yeah. And we're first of all, I was trying to figure out, when is there a right time to bring this up? There's always going to be someone who's a year and a half, 2 years out of an election. And then the other thing was, I just wanted to know what the rules were going in.
Well, maybe you got one of those taken care of. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, some of the different challenges that are out there, you'd mentioned looking for public feedback, whether it's solicited or unsolicited. You got a couple of different things that are going on that I think probably really have the potential to be the fringe yes-yes and no-nos really driving the ship. I'm thinking of the Strawberry Rock. I would hazard a guess 95% of Humboldt County, with just that reference, has no idea what we're talking about, where it is. Might guess it's in the fifth somewhere. Beyond that, you know, they're growing strawberries on a rock somewhere. Might be the reference, right? Or there's a rock in the middle of a strawberry field somewhere. Mm-hmm. The Beatles are coming to town. Yeah, I mean, it starts to warp out. But with the discussion itself, with those who are in the know, tempestuous, emotional, passionate, mm-hmm. costly, et cetera, all leap into mind. So that might be a grand example if you need one.
Yeah, well, you know, Strawberry Rock's interesting because it's, you know, Green Diamond owns the property, and they have, in the last few years, really done some good stuff with their property and identifying spots where they really want to grow trees and spots that they can, you know, maybe open up to a community forest or, you know, preserve things that, excuse me, where people go. You know, Strawberry Rock is over by Trinidad, and it's, you know, a big rock that people hike up to, and for years and years and years have done that. Well, for years and years and years, they've been trespassing. And so Green Diamond has now looked at it and said, okay, what if we make, a trail on the way up there and make it off limits to logging, and then a trail up to the rock and around the rock. And they're also, they have a big section of timber that they could have logged. It was one of their logging units that's along the trail on the way up that they're also looking at putting in a preserve and never logging that also, and looking at it, making it sure it's, you know, good for business and it's the right thing to do for them. And it looks like it's going to work. And, you know, you talk about the different sides to it and the emotions. Well, there's some people who say, you know, we want to make, you know, the whole 25 square miles around there be, you know, all dedicated to never being logged. And
give me more.
Yeah. Yeah. And Green Diamond's all, they're doing as much as they can, basically. And, you know, it is passionate. I just heard of, there was flyers a couple weekends ago, maybe it might've been last weekend, that we're going around and telling people they're going to meet down there and do a big hike up to Strawberry Rock. And, you know, makes them a little nervous because it's still trespassing right now.
Yeah, it's illegal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I suppose that becomes a bit of a challenge also as you're working some of these things through, knowing the legalities and the illegalities and the risks and the liabilities and.
Well, I think the biggest thing is the liabilities, you know, for the company. I mean, anybody that goes out there on their free will and then trips and falls or falls off the rock, I guarantee Green Diamond is going to be sued for it. And it's unfortunate that that's the way it is. But, you know, if they know about an organized hike up there without, you know, I think they're obligated to do something, or their insurance company probably wouldn't be very happy.
Yeah, so now they have to step in and be the bad guys where they're trying to be good guys and doing some kind of a set-aside.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not necessary, mm-hmm. but they're doing it. So how do you deal with that we need more mentality? I suppose it's kind of like kids at Christmas. No, I wanted the pony, not the... And you have to work that one through. Same approach in this kind of a scenario?
I've been a little bit hands-off on this. Just, this is a private company on private land, and it's not really, I don't think, any, you know, not really my business to tell them they need to do more.
Yeah,
you know?
Are they giving the property to the county as a county park?
No. They're just doing it in a preservation right-of-way kind of thing where, you know, it'd be a dedicated public trail that's still owned by them, and they'll put one of the logging units into a preserve also. That it is, so it won't be logged.
So you think that that would be celebrated?
I think it is celebrated by a lot of people, but I think there's also a small group of people where there's maybe never enough. I don't know.
So is there any role that the county has in this at all, or is it just because it's within your jurisdiction that you're kind of monitoring?
Yeah, yeah, and they've been really good about letting me know about things that are going on, and you know, I told them if there's anything I can do to help, let me know, and you know, getting information out and you know, talking about on this program here, you know, just to let people know what's going on, that they, you know, they are undertaking this and doing a really big community service. It's great work on their part.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 5th. Ryan, roads are always a challenge, particularly in our area. I think Raffelli's been on. Murray was on when he was the public works guy. Matson's been on. All the supervisors. 2,500 miles of county roads. Okay, yeah, yeah. So, and I think the dichotomy for me comes into play where what are the expectations of residents of Humboldt County and the condition of the roads? McKinleyville certainly is going to be held to a different standard than Blue Slide. Okay, mm-hmm. And different traffic levels, different needs, different requirements. Bell Springs. Okay, different again. Bald Hills, different again. So is it tough to get the public to grasp the concept that all roads are not the same, all levels of service are not the same? When you live really rural, you're going to live really rural.
Mm-hmm. I think most people get that concept. But, you know, I also think there's a disconnect between what the revenue is for the county for roads and what kind of service the county can provide. And they've actually done a really good job in the last few years. They have the pavement index that they use for, you know, how good roads are in Humboldt County. And it's actually went up. And the reason is there were some grants, big grants that came through, and then the ARRA funding, the American Recovery Act.
The shovel ready stuff.
Shovel ready Obama.
Yeah.
Bailout, but you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah.
So that money came through, and it really helped, you know, increase the quality of roads in Humboldt County, and that money is all gone now, and we just got a report yesterday from Public Works to show, you know, where we're at and where we're headed and where, you know, how much in deficit is California and Humboldt County. And it was interesting to see some of the numbers. Was in California, there's $82 billion needed to get our roads up to good for the next 10 years. You know, so roughly $8 billion a year needs to be invested to get our roads up to a good status, where it's right, you know, kind of halfway in between brand new and failing. And once they get it to that level, it's makes it less expensive to maintain, because it's really expensive to repair a failing road, and it's a lot less expensive to repair a newer road.
Kind of like momentum. Once you get the ball rolling,
yeah,
it doesn't take as much to keep it going.
Yeah, and but you have to get there first. You know, Humboldt County, where $980 million is needed in the next 10 years. So there's massive numbers. And
So as you look at that information, and you guys kick around, okay, thank you very much. Do you make that a higher priority? Do you make that something that's more knowledgeable information for you so that you got things going? I mean, to have it is great. The priority, I think, for roads is already there.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a matter of reprioritization. Is it just more of a status update of what's needed?
Yeah, well, they're always looking for grants. They're always trying to find new ways to generate revenue. And, you know, one of the things that has come up repeatedly in our general plan meetings is developer fees. And there's been some misinformation out there that, you know, I think I'll just talk for myself, but that I'm not in favor of developer fees. And there's some developer fees that I'm not in favor of, which are, you know, like for McKinleyville, we've got a library and we've got a sheriff's substation, and those developer fees can only be used for infrastructure. So you can build a library, you can build a sheriff's substation, but you don't have any money to fund the people who are going to be in there, which is the lion's share of the ongoing cost and what makes that tick. However, roads is another one that's part of the infrastructure, and Tom Mattson through Public Works is working on a proposal or, you know, a study to see how much developer fees could be charged and what they would go for. And because I think everyone agrees that roads is completely necessary. We're way behind and we have to do something. And so I've been in favor of looking, you know, having this study, and it doesn't necessarily need to be part of the general plan. And that's the other part that's been a lot of the misinformation that's went out there. And so, I mean, it's not that we're not in favor of developer fees. It's, you know, more targeted towards roads. And I think we get a lot more bang for our buck. We put it in for roads only, and the other services, you know, if you can't fund the positions, and, you know, it's not going to do a whole lot. Plus we don't build a lot of, you know, we're not having huge increases in home building, you know, building new homes. So how much would you have to charge for a developer fee to do anything anyways? You know, so if you don't focus on just one of them, I don't think, you know, spreading it out thinner is not going to help the situation.
So as you look at development fees, now the county would be one thing. The cities have their own structures. I could see it kind of getting to almost the point for a developer of, well, similar to sales tax. You know, do you go to this area because it costs you more, or that area because it costs you more? Same house, okay, the selling price here is going to have to be an extra $5,000 because their development fees are at whatever the rate is versus another location. I would think the developer fees could actually end up in encouraging development in certain parts of the county and dissuading in other parts, regardless of the general plan.
Yeah.
Can we sell this thing?
Well, one of the things that are in the general plan from the Planning Commission is the Mello Roos districts, where they have a certain area that charges for all the services. And that in that Mello Roos district, you can actually pay for the salaries and that kind of thing to have more services. And we were looking on the internet at the different places that had Mello Roos, and down south, it makes a lot more sense because they'd have big blocks of area where they would build a lot of houses at one time, and so they would be able to fund these. Well, now those houses aren't selling because you have to pay the extra $10,000 or whatever, $15,000.
Yeah, the premium.
Yeah, whatever the Mello Roos tax is to live in that area, and those houses aren't selling because of the huge extra taxes that you're paying on it. So it's a double-edged sword that is really tough. But my personal opinion is, if we focus in on roads, we can get a lot more done. And we
how do you look at something, Ryan, like the county where, let's say, Stagecoach where, I mean, it's active, it's moving, it's always moved, it will move forever, you know. How do you look at those homes in that area or properties that might be developed? I mean, you can't take that same formula and throw it into that one versus, let's say, a very stable bed that hasn't moved and there's no ongoing maintenance fees.
Well, see, the thing is you can only do this on new housing. And so there's not a lot of new housing going in there. You have one every 5 years or something. So what is the point if you have one house going in and you charge them a bunch of extra money for, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
It really becomes $1 million view, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So the, you know, those kinds of roads that are constantly moving and, you know, basically we've taken the view that we'll do the best we can and we'll keep patching it. And, you know, and if one day there's, you know, they're always looking for grants. If something comes up to where they can, you know, do a permanent fix there, then we will. But we can't just take a bunch of money out of their general fund part and pay for something like that. There's not enough people that go down it. There's an alternate route, and we just have to keep it up the best we can.
Well, I was wondering, at what point do you get an easement from another direction? Or just really let it fall apart and deal with it because you put in so much money.
Yeah, well, that's how Scenic Drive was. They, you know, it was closed down for a while. And when I was on the tribal council in Trinidad, we'd heard that the county had basically said, we're not going to put any more money into this road. But since then, they've opened it back up, and it's, you know, gravel and one lane and that kind of thing for a ways. So they're still trying to keep it going, but that road is eventually going to fail. But Trinidad Rancheria also has a plan to get an off ramp, and then there is an option to do a frontage road to Highway 101.
Bring it into another direction
from the backside instead of going right along the coast, and then maybe turn Scenic Drive into a trail or something.
It spots.
Hopefully you can still get through on a walking or bicycle.
Well, you know, and bikes and gravel, they go together hand in glove. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, if somebody does want to have their opinions, get them to you, whether it's through the community meetings or through the website, whatever, you know, topic du jour happens to be. Is email still the easiest, most convenient way for you to be able to get that information and then respond if needed?
Yeah, it is, because you can, if there's a question in there, you can forward it on easily, you know, and make sure you don't interpret it wrong. And so that's the way if I had my choice. But there's people who don't do email. There's people who don't do cell phones. And, you know, so you get a letter, or some people don't like to talk in public, so they don't come to our meetings, you know. And that's, you know, the open Humboldt thing is perfect for those kinds of people that don't like to talk in public. So,
well, I like to eat, so I'll see you at the restaurant then.
All right.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Ryan Sundberg. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.